Neil, how did you beat me to my own podcast?
I don't know. I got here. I knock on the door, and Erin opens the door, the dishwasher, who was actually washing dishes.
Wait, was she really washing dishes?
Yeah. So I helped her wash dishes. And by that, I mean actually wash dishes. That's no euphemism for anything else. And that's it. But she has the name, the dishwasher. Now she actually does it. Unbelievable.
You have proof.
I have proof. So
this is Ed Marlowe and Neil Bradley. This is the For Those Who Inquire podcast.
But how, you know, and you thought you got here, what, 3 after 4? That isn't, but it's still not 4. I mean, you know,
I did say, hey, let's get started at 4. And I got here at 3 after 4. And you're right. You were ready, right on time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know me. I'm never going to be late. I've always come early. Always been a problem. But that keeps you from having trouble, of course. Don't have anything go wrong that you can't fix unless you don't have the right mic cord or something.
Yeah. So funny you should say that. We'll have a special guest later. Trying to do a 3-way podcast is a little bit more difficult than one might imagine. But technology, you know, I can navigate some of that as we move forward, and we'll figure something out. But yes, a special guest. Don't want to talk about him just yet. There's your only hint. It's a him. But a young man who is joining Murray State Athletics relatively soon, so we'll hear from him later in the podcast. But I think the first thing at the top of my mind, Neil, when I think about Murray State Athletics, has got to be this softball run. You know, 2 weeks ago, you and I were talking about the possibility of where the Racers were headed, what they had to do to get 40 wins, what they needed to do to get an OVC championship, and let's just talk about that. It happened. They left so many players on base during that series and down in Alabama, but it didn't matter because they found the timely hits at the right time and won an OVC championship. What was it like to just see that happen?
Well, it was very good because they had some years where they did well but came up short, sometimes just short.
Painfully short.
But this is the one time where they had especially the pitching depth, and throughout much of the season, the hitting – to get the job done. The pitching really carried them late in the season. When the hitting, if you want to know maybe why they didn't advance or win a game at Tuscaloosa, the bats just kind of abandoned them. I think over their last 9 games, they scored 1 or no runs. I believe it was in 5 or 6 of the games. That's a lot of pressure on your pitching staff. The fact that they were still able to win an OVC tournament championship, that shows how good their pitching was, how good the defense was. But sometimes you can't pick the times when the bats go cold. Sometimes it's early in the season, mid-season. And then sometimes you have a season where it doesn't happen collectively as a team, but sometimes it does. And I think that kind of cost them late. But it sure doesn't take the shine off what was done by this team. 40 wins, I mean, that's a school record. The greatest season in history. The numbers that this team put up. Some of the hitters like Braunmeier with her doubles record and some of the other hitters, and then the pitching was just unbelievable. If Hannah James wasn't 100% on, if she's only 98% on, they had other arms they could bring in and do a terrific job. And the staff and the team, what a season for them. They go to Tuscaloosa, had 2 terrific games, I thought.
Sure did.
Despite having to deal with an accident. Very fortunate that wasn't worse than it was.
Very fortunate.
But they dusted themselves off, got right back on, got to it, never used any of that as an excuse, and just had a dream season. What a way to go out of the OVC and set the table for going into the Missouri Valley Conference.
You've got an OVC tournament in which you beat Southeast Missouri 3-1. You beat Belmont the first time 1-0. Then you have to play them twice. Belmont, of course, with that loss. You get to the championship round. Belmont's got to beat you 2 times. You know, first of all, unbelievable win to beat Southeast Missouri and to beat Belmont just to make it to that championship, buy yourself that extra time. Belmont wins that first game. You talk about 3-0. The bats kind of went cold. I think they left 12 players on base in that game and then broke open a close game later on against Belmont to win 5-2. And that was such a huge game. I believe, if I remember the box score correctly, Gracie Osborne was absolutely terrific. And Gracie was – you know, she had 2 hits, you know, four at-bats. She scored two runs. Sierra Gilmore, a fifth-year freshman, two RBI. She had two homers in the championship game, was the MVP. So, you know, you take a look at this situation of the graduating class, these fifth-year seniors, Bronmeyer and Jensen Striegel and Sierra Gilmore, who's a great photographer. She's been on the sidelines for Murray State men's and women's basketball. I really, honestly, I think, if I'm thinking correctly, probably the last couple of years at least. Okay. But I saw her a lot this last year, mm-hmm. just on the set next to her quite a bit, next to, you know, Dr. David Eaton, because they're always looking for creative, you know, mm-hmm. ways to promote, you know, athletics. And if you're a good photographer and a good videographer, you're going to be on the sidelines. So Dave Weiner needs all the cameras he can get shooting these sporting events. And so, you take a look at these fifth year seniors and kind of what they've had to deal with. That I believe that first season in 2018, when these were all freshmen, they went 16-36 that year. Mm-hmm. And you know, Kara Amundsen and the staff over the years have just they've had some special seasons. We all remember when they beat Michigan State in the first round of that postseason tournament. So it's just one of those things. Like these young ladies, Sierra said it when they got at the selection show last weekend, you know, that the win against Belmont for the championship, that was only the second time that she had experienced the OVC tournament, because that's how hard it is to get mm-hmm. in yeah. to the conference tournament for softball. So it's just one of those times, like they finally broke through. And Neil, I have thought about this all week. Walk me through this history. Softball was the last sport. It's one of the youngest on mm-hmm. the campus, but they were the only team, and again, you maybe can help me with this, they've got to be the only team that didn't have an OVC title. They got it at the nick of time.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, I'm running through the sports, and I don't want to – baseball's got a title. Mm-hmm. Basketball, men's and women's, has a title. Both cross-country programs, I believe, in history have won titles. Different iterations, mm-hmm. track and field, outdoor, indoor. Somebody from cross-country or track and field has won a title. Football's won a title. Golf, men's and women's, sure. have both won titles. Rifle, we know how many titles they have. Women's soccer has titles. Tennis, first under Mel Purcell and Benny, and then now the women have titles. Volleyball, we've seen win titles. Mathematically, that left softball.
Yeah.
And literally, last second, one of the youngest programs, is a program is only 12 mm-hmm. years old. Needed to win a title and got it done. So now it's fair to say every Murray State athletic program has won an OVC title before going to the Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, it's very good. I think it sets the table. They got a lot of really terrific young players. I realize there's going to be some big losses, but some really terrific young players, some good signees that – I saw kind of tweeting at them on social media this past week. I know they're eager to be a part of the program and keep the success going as they head into the Missouri Valley Conference. I think Missouri State was the winner of that conference, so that's the number one team as they'll head into next year.
You look at real quick, just to look at what's going on in Tuscaloosa, and you know, you talked about the bus crash that ended up being major. But you take a look at these two box scores. You lost to Stanford 3-1, and you pitched lights out. You know, Hannah James and Jenna Weber were both absolutely terrific. Each gave up one earned run. You can't ask for much more than that. They both had, you know, a couple of strikeouts, one walk each, and they gave up seven total hits to Stanford, who was able to score two runs in the bottom of the fifth. And then you look at the Chattanooga game that went to extras. The Racers had a chance late with bases loaded, got a hit that just didn't trickle out of the infield. That's a tie game. Maybe they're even still playing it right now if that's how tight that game was, because Chattanooga had four hits, one error, scored the one run in the top of the eighth, and Racers had five hits. And again, I think they left, you know, a handful on base, eight or nine on base. And so it's one of those situations, you're right, you wish you could have spread that hitting out and gotten a little bit more out of it, but you played – I mean, look at the pitching. Chattanooga played Alabama really close in game one. I think they lost 2-0, 3-0. And then Stanford beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. And they beat the Racers. Then they made their own name by beating Alabama, I think, 6-0.
And then won the tournament today.
Oh, they beat Alabama.
7-0 in the second game. Bama beat them. Then they turned around and won. So Bama's first loss since 2007.
Wow.
in a regional.
So that's how good Stanford ended up being.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about maybe the Racers can clip this team that didn't do as well as they thought they could do in the Pac-12. Come to find out, Stanford had great pitching.
Yeah.
And this, if you took a look at this weekend in Tuscaloosa, that's what that ended up being, in my opinion.
Right.
A lot of great pitchers down there in that regional.
I was really rooting for Bama and Murray State to play in that next round. That's why I was really rooting hard. I wanted to see Hannah James go against Montana. What a Hannah Montana matchup. But it just
wanted a Hannah Montana matchup. You know,
it's happened.
As funny as that is.
But it didn't happen in the tournament.
It didn't. The Kentucky connection between Montana Founts and Kaylee Tao, who played at Madisonville and was so terrific. There's several Murray State girls who knew several of the young women down there. Coach Amundsen even said that last weekend a sisterhood.
Sure.
There is a sisterhood here as softball continues to grow across the country. Travel teams have united families and, you know, especially in state, it makes perfect sense that, you know, Montana Founts, Kaylee Tao, certainly know people like Hannah James, Lindsay Carroll, you know, who had a terrific bounce back season as well. So, I mean, that just kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah, it's really weird because, you know, back when I grew up, Ed, they didn't have the travel teams or anything like that. You played your games, and then that was the end of it. So sometimes you're like, well, they go to Tillman, they go to North Marshall, they go to Benton, I don't like them. And so nowadays you would think, I bet you know them, they're rivals. Yeah, but we play travel ball, so I'm real good friends with them. You know, I want to beat their brains in the regional, but we play all the time in the summer. It's like, what?
Yeah,
it just blows my mind on how many of these kids that are really good and elite – no one, if they don't play on the same team, they play against each other, each other all summer. It's just changed so much from the men's, the women's program, softball, all sorts of sports do the same thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I want to pivot a little bit now. You're right. You hit the nail right on the head. That you're going to miss this senior class, you know, these fifth years and things like that. But you're absolutely right. You're bringing in a ton of depth. Mm-hmm. You know, Weber and Hannah James are just, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think James is a redshirt junior and Weber's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah. You're
in at least one more year out of that tandem. That's nasty.
Yeah.
You know, they were both top five, both top 20, excuse me, in ERA country, you know, in the nation, in the country. So it's just absurd to think that not only did you post one of the best ERAs in the country as a staff, because you had some relievers there that helped out as well, but the two of them give you a chance to win. And this is no disrespect to Hannah James because she was terrific all year and even in the OVC tournament.
Mm-hmm,
but Weber won that second game.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to have that depth to win on a weekend like that. Because if the bats do go cold, you need to be able to tell your battery, hey, we need you to do it again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. If Hannah had won it on her own, I'm sure it's possible. But it's always great to have another shoulder to literally lean on when you're going into a situation like that.
And I know softball, not as taxing on the arms, but it's still very difficult to throw back-to-back games and maintain your effectiveness. It just really is. And you can ask the pitchers, they'll tell you that for the most part, unless they have a low-pitch game in game one or something like that.
You're absolutely right. So, yeah, Neil, softball, absolutely. It's a great situation because they're going to be in a great – they're going to be in great shape next year for their roster.
I think so, too. I think so. I don't know a lot about the entire league in the Missouri Valley, but they'll certainly be, I think, a contender for a championship.
What are you watching right now?
I'm not watching anything. I have the roster out when we start to talk basketball.
Yeah, you're using your tools here.
Yes.
Well, before we talk Racer basketball, and we'll bring this young man in on this, our visitor is here early. That's okay because I was late to my own house. Jay Nimmo, recent transfer – back to Murray State University. I say back to Murray State University. Jay, you've lived Racer Athletics longer, about as long as Neil has.
Maybe not.
I don't
that
know
long,
about
right?
that. Come on.
I don't know. I've not been a Racer for life. You've been a Racer for
life. I was born into Racer Athletics with my dad and both my parents. So
were you born in Racer Arena?
I was born at the hospital in Murray, so I was pretty dang close.
Not far from
three
blocks.
They might have took me there before they took me home. So
that's absolutely terrific. Jay, first of all, congratulations on a great freshman year at Mississippi State. Welcome back to Murray State University. I'll just tell the listeners right now, he is currently wearing a Murray State golf Nike. You know, he's got his polo on. Were you playing today?
I was playing. I played in Benton, but shout out to Quinn Eaton for the shirt. I know that's your guy there, but he gave me some stuff.
Got you some swag?
Right. It's not like I didn't have enough already, but.
Is it his hand-me-down swag?
It is. It is.
Unbelievable. So. It's phenomenal. Well, first of all, Neil and I have plenty of questions for you, man, but we'd just love to hear your thoughts. Obviously, you know, you were looking forward to coming home this summer anyways. What made you make the decision?
I was just a little homesick. I just kind of missed Western Kentucky in the area. Got down there. Obviously, the first semester was great, kind of the honeymoon phase of being away, being on your own a little bit. And then, you know, as I got, you know, further, because I was busy, you get there and you just with your feet running. Like, I mean, we had qualifying within the first week. And so we just kind of got into it. And then after golf ended in October of the fall semester, I just kind of missed home for that little stretch, and then got back in the spring and it was the same thing. I was hoping that the winter break would kind of break that up, but it just kind of missed home, and then I was finally like, you know what, I probably need to enter the transfer portal because this is not the place for me. I love Starkville. I love everything about it. It was just I was just missing home. So coaches were really good in the process of transferring. Just excited to be back.
Neil and I have talked a lot about this, actually, in this perspective, in the sense that, you know, from a basketball perspective, from a football perspective, sometimes recruiting, it doesn't matter how much you love a coaching staff or how much you love a location. And, Neil, I know you can attest to this as well, just the amount of, you know, football and other different sports that you've seen. But a lot of times you can't recruit against home. Hey, that's hard to do. That's not like a – that's not a thing. Again, everybody – we all meet great people on the road. We all do great things away from home, but sometimes home is the call. And that's – I know that wasn't an easy decision for you because, you know, I was there when you rang the bell. That's – you know, obviously there's a love and a passion for Mississippi State, and that won't go away, but the love of home was stronger than that.
Right, absolutely. Like, the coaching staff down there was fantastic. I have no – like, I loved everything about it. And it was just a little far away from home. And I've obviously grown up in Western Kentucky my whole life. And just something about this area, the people here and the passion they have and the love for each other in Western Kentucky is something that's really special. So I think Murray State embodies that pretty well. So
and to have multiple years, however, and you're going to have a new golf coach at Murray State too. So a little bit of a change there. How did that affect your decision one way or the other?
Well, I was really excited to come back, and I was talking to Coach DeLuca about the transfer process. And actually we were supposed to talk kind of scholarship and some other things on a Friday. And he calls me on a Friday. And again, I was just expecting a normal phone call. And, you know, he tells me that he's resigning, and I was like, oh wow. Like this is, I'm kind of in a tough spot because I was putting some other schools on pause, and he was like, here's the situation. And then Scott Barnhart was also on the phone, and he assured me that Murray's still spot if I would like to take it. And so it's been great through the process, and good. Just the 3 years, I mean, is going to be great to have 3 years, but it's more the next, you know, 30 years to be associated with Murray State and the connections I'll make, and hopefully in the athletic department.
And it's a little weird because you've been a fan of all sorts of Murray State sport. This isn't like I just want to do it for the fans and have thousands come out to the golf course and watch it. That isn't the reason that you do it here. There's a lot of other reasons. You just when you're done, you get to go see your family and friends that you know. Yeah, I guess that's one of the overriding reasons.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Just to have – I mean, my parents were great. They traveled to some tournaments and stuff, but just to be able to be here and, like, just the area. I have a lot of friends that go to Murray, and it's just gonna be a lot of fun.
Good.
Walk us through. Got a couple of, I don't know if they're hard hitting questions, but I'm sure you have better insight than I would ever have. Walk us through what the transfer portal was like. I know men's and women's golf is different than men's basketball and women's basketball and you know and other sports that typically see a lot of turnover. Well, what is the transfer portal like? Because we know it's not like the multiverse of madness. You don't just walk in and it's just some magical place. How does this process work for an athlete looking to make a different decision?
So obviously, when in your quote-unquote non-money-making sports, it's a little different. Like, you know, if you're a five-star basketball transfer, you go in, you're going to have people offering you money to go here, here, whatever. But for golf, it's you go, you just enter your email into this thing, and you just wait for coaches to come back. So it's a little nerve-wracking to maybe not know your worth, I guess. But I was fortunate enough to have a lot of schools reach out, and you just begin to have relationships with certain coaches and kind of just be honest with them where I was at. I was fortunate enough a lot of schools reached out. But it's a weird place because you have that conversation with your coach that, hey, like, this is not the spot for me, but you have to wait on other schools. Because, I mean, I did it in early April, late March, so there's not a lot of time for other schools to come in and kind of recruit you and build that relationship and have that trust. So it's a little different, but I was fortunate enough, obviously, for Murray to come calling, and loved the decision I made.
Well, we have an athlete that's been in the portal, because I talk to people all the time. The transfer portal's ruining college sports.
Right.
I don't think it is. First of all, here's the thing that I do like. You finally have some cards you can play. Before, you had no cards you could play. Coach is leaving. Too bad. You want to leave? You're going to have to sit out a year somewhere else.
That's right.
And then here's some schools you're not going to be able to go to. I mean, now it's kind of evens out the process a little bit, because I know a lot of folks don't know this. The scholarships for a year. The end right. of the year, they just go, see ya. You know, June 30th or whatever the day is that they have. Yeah, hey, good luck finding another school,
right.
And you're screwed. Now you have a little bit of power on your own, and I realize there may be, you know, a lot of in the transfer portal that not going to end up any place, but I think it's more good than bad. How do you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're giving kids the same opportunity that coaches have, like,
exactly.
I mean, coaches can leave. So I think it's good to have that process. Now, I think if you go to a place and, you know, you're a freshman and, you know, you're kind of working things out, and you just want to transfer because you're not getting enough playing time, that's a different story. But I think it's great to have a player have kind of hold some cards, like you said,
sure.
to be able to make their own decision. And like, there's a lot of stuff you don't think about: homesick, coaching change, you know, family life as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different factors, and I think giving kids the power to say, you know what, this isn't for me. You know, let's go closer to home. Let's follow this coach. I met somebody in the recruiting process in high school. I like them. Let's try that out. I think it's good for everybody, I believe.
And we've had one athlete a few years back transferred, raised pretty much by his grandmother. Grandmother gets in poor health. They want to go down there and be with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's
good.
Yeah.
One of the things that I wanted to ask, and we don't have to talk about, this isn't a jilting process. There were certainly, I'm sure, great programs that reached out to you that you have mutual respect mm-hmm. for. We're not here to discuss that, unless you want to. That's your call. I guess the main thing that I was more curious about, and as someone who's followed Murray State Athletics longer than I have, quite frankly, does a move to the Missouri Valley make it more appealing, or was it the love of Murray State and Western Kentucky? Or is it just a mix of things on top of that, or does the Missouri play a part?
Not really in golf anyway, because in golf you play like a home and home. Like, we're not going up to Northern Iowa for just us two. Now, granted, like, we may go play in their tournament or something.
Sure.
But like, the schedule in golf, it doesn't matter what conference you're in. The coaches, like, if you have a reputable, like Little Rock, they're coming to the OVC. They were in the Sun Belt, who is a great golf conference. They're going to play the same golf schedule they did, and just instead of going to Florida for their conference tournament, they're going to go wherever the OVC is. So, like, that's the only difference in golf. Now, granted, I could see the conference makes a huge deal in basketball and football and probably baseball and softball, if I had to say. But for golf, it's you still play your own schedule. Like, we're going to Colorado and Air Force's tournament, I believe. So it didn't really matter what conference we were in. That didn't really have a deciding factor or anything.
And I know you're not an athletic director, and that's an incredible insight. Where do you think men's golf goes? I'm sure a coaching announcement will come at some point. You got to have a head coach. Where do you think that's headed?
I think I have tremendous respect, and I believe Kevin Saul will make the – make a great hire. Obviously, he did with Coach DeLuca. Every single guy on that team loved Coach DeLuca, loved the way he was doing things and had the program on a good direction. Now, I think there's a lot of avenues you can go, whether that be like a mid-major assistant, like a JUCO head coach. I mean, there's a lot of like people in golf that are very good, and I think I have tremendous faith that he's going to make whoever's going to come in has a great roster, a group of guys who's ready to win, and they're quite frankly we're pretty young. So I think we're pretty good. We're set up for the next 2 or 3 years.
You literally pulled the next question right out of my mouth, and I know Neil was looking at the roster as well. I see a roster full, replete with talent. And young talent. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not where you're at right now. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You can be in 2 to 3 years. Absolutely. Or now, but there's time to buy yourself that growth and development, not only in a new conference, but also just as a team as you come together. How does that all work out? What's it like to be with your former high school teammate in Tyler Powell?
Right, absolutely. Well, first off, the team is very young. Like I said, I don't think there will be a senior on the a senior, maybe one or two seniors, maybe.
Sure.
And I don't really, with COVID and redshirt, I don't know who's in what grade or anything. Yeah. So
we don't know anymore.
Yeah.
It's all madness.
But I do know they're young. So we're young. So I'm excited. But yeah, Tyler, let's see. My second grade year, we played basketball together. Second through fourth grade, so it's 3 years on the basketball team. We were teammates in high school golf for 7 years. My fifth grade through 11th, my junior year. And then we played high school basketball together for 3 years. So
you're not even 21 yet, right?
No, I'm 19. Wow. So I think we've had about 15, 16 years of being on a team together.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm excited for three more with him.
The reason I was asking if you were 21 is I could at least say for 7 years, it's a third of your life.
Right, yeah.
It's actually been longer.
It's pretty close, yet. Yeah.
It's wild. It's more. It's just in golf alone, you've played like 35% of your 40% of your career with him in it. I mean, and you guys had such great success at Marshall County.
And a little question there. Obviously, in a basketball setting, you have the team goal. You want at the end of the game to have more points than the other. You don't ever really compare, hey, you got 10 points, 8. But in golf, come on, you got to do that a little bit, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, I beat you yesterday.
Absolutely.
And that's okay.
Well, that is okay. That's
you
good.
Absolutely want to do that.
Yes, yes.
So me and Tyler have had a great relationship growing up, and like, you know, he hit a little further than me and growing up, so that made me want to hit a little further.
See?
And then
you
know, I had probably he might argue this, but I probably had a better short game. So that made him want to work on it. And so we just pushed each other, and I think I wouldn't be the player I am without him. I don't think he'd be the player. And we just had a great relationship. So looking forward to the next couple of years with him, for
who,
sure.
Who drives it further? I'm curious.
He does.
Does he?
He does. I will say I'm a better three-point shooter than him, though.
Okay. So. I don't know. He shot.
Yeah, he had a good year.
He had a very good senior year.
Don't let that go to his head.
Well, that's still one of the greatest championship games I've ever seen, quite frankly.
Yeah, it was.
I know it didn't end the way, and there's certainly – and we can talk about it. It's been years now, but that – from a controversial standpoint, I know that you know, Berlin Brower's squad was really good and Terry Birdsong's squad was really good. And I know that I saw two clutch shots made in the final 30 seconds and it was heart stopping and the arena was full. So, and Tyler Powell was the one that made that shot.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What a great atmosphere. That just brought to as soon as you said you were the better 3-point shooter, I don't know, man. His senior year was ridiculous, actually. Didn't he shoot better from three than two?
I wouldn't doubt it.
He shot 50% from three.
Pretty close. And, I mean, he was just filthy. Every shot it threw up, I thought it was going in.
It was amazing. There's only one other 3-point shooter in Marshall County history. In my history, of course, very short.
Played golf with him yesterday.
DJ Pig. Yep. We were talking about him the other day. Really excited for him. Yeah, at absolutely. County. Really looking forward to seeing what he's
doing. And at Marshall, did you like wearing the orange?
Yes.
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 I was on the committee that helped select that.
So. I love the orange.
See, there you go.
You helped pick the color?
I've told you that story.
I hate that story. I keep putting it out of my head. Here's the thing. I don't necessarily dislike the fact that Marshall County has the orange. At least it's a signature. I think it's just how bold it is.
Yeah.
It's not muted at all.
No, we didn't want it to be.
We wanted it, as we said, whenever this is in 74, and they were getting ready to have the Marshall County High School. We wanted it to be that when you walked in back then, Racer Arena, you didn't have to go, is that Tillman? Who is that? Is that Wing? Who is that coming in? That's Marshall County. Here comes this flood of orange in. It's that's Marshall County, or it's like, ugh, it's Marshall County.
And that's what you wanted.
And that's what we got, exactly what we wanted out of it. The Marshall fans love it. Everyone else who don't like Marshall, they hate it. Like there's those Marshall fans. God.
And I say these things with huge orange
microphones. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Orange microphones. I know. Knowing full as well. I say this. I've talked about this a lot. In all my years of sports reporting, there are certain colors that I just cannot wear anymore. And it's not intentional. It's happened to me two times at district tournaments for basketball, and where I accidentally wore a Laker red or like a Murray yellow. And I had people say, well, what side are you on? And I'm like, I just picked out a shirt today. What the hell? And they're just like, no, man, you're wearing Laker red. And I'm like, I didn't know that that's what it was in the crayon box. Like, I just – so.
Oh, we've gotten it before,
too. I don't wear – I went to a Callaway County Ballard Memorial Boys basketball game, and I was wearing green. And I didn't think about it. And I was working for the Ledger at the time, and they were like, you're wearing Kelly green. And I'm like, yeah, it's my favorite pullover. And they're like, we play Ballard today. And I was like, I didn't think about that. So now.
Well, they do.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And so now I have to think about when I go. I don't as much anymore, but like when I was full time reporting on regional sports, I thought about what I had to wear. And I got rid of all my Murray State gear too, donated it all.
Well, fans know, all the newspaper guys, they hate your team, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do.
Yeah.
And they're biased against your team.
Right.
Whoever you're choosing, it doesn't really matter. Hate you.
Yeah, we all absolutely hate. We have we've given a little bit of a dovetail here, but it's actually totally worth it. Jay, I want to keep you on. Actually, let's finish out the podcast here with you as like a special guest, because we know how much you love Murray State men's basketball and women's basketball. Obviously, not only do you have former first region and second region friends here at Murray State University, but you've just always loved the game of basketball, played it and lived it. So Neil, I wanted to jump in really quick. The last time you and I podcasted 14 days ago, you said that Murray State men's basketball would finish out its roster relatively soon. Mm-hmm. Some of that was just us being very facetious about that, because clearly they had to have 13 players and a walk-on.
They were going to get – that was going to happen.
They were going to have guys. Like, it's not like, oh, they're just not going to have guys next year. And, you were right, because they finished out the roster.
Very strong. And remember the thing that we said they were still missing? They needed that elite point guard. And they probably didn't even know that, but I guess Steve and his staff listens to our show.
Oh, sure.
And they went out and got Brian Moore, JUCO All-American.
Well, and two-time JUCO All-American. And not only that, this past season averaged 22-6-5.
They probably would have never thought to go get someone like that, but because they listen to us.
Yeah.
But to me, he was the piece.
This podcast is
they had
free,
everything else,
by the way.
And I think he was the missing piece that they needed. Wow. And
I'm looking him up right now because I want to get his true numbers. Here's the deal. I just said it. This podcast is free. We offer this information out free of charge. We should be charging people, Neil, for this incredible information that
okay.
We should bring on. We should, you know what? Let's call and see if we can get a job. Do you think that we could be?
I don't want a job. I'm retired.
Oh, well, I have a long way to go before I'm retired. Jay, as someone who pays close attention to Murray State men's basketball and women's basketball and its recruitment, what are your thoughts just as a fan over the last couple of weeks on how Steve has filled out the rest of this roster?
Oh, it's exciting. Like, obviously I haven't been able to like watch these guys, but every time, you know, I follow, I think it's Coach Maddox on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Every time he sends out the racer bat signal, it's pretty exciting to know somebody's gonna join. And obviously the point guard was big, and I think it's just a really good roster top to bottom with a lot of scorers, a lot of defenders, it looks like, a lot of length. So I think it's got a complete feel to it of a complete team. So I'm really excited for the next year.
And I believe not a single senior on the roster, except
that's true.
Yeah, I started to say your oldest guy is Rod Thomas, if I'm not mistaken, as far as just on the team, having been on the team and been a part of the program.
And there are several guys. I think like Moore, he hasn't taken his COVID year yet, so he's going to be listed as a sophomore in terms of eligibility, and there's
got
a few of those. And let's hope we're done with this, that we're not in a few years talking about a monkeypox year, you know, that you're the monkeypox is the new one. So hopefully we don't have that coming up next. Hopefully it just stays with this and goes with that. But
I like how you That was very
false. You don't want a monkeypox year.
You don't want monkeypox, yeah.
Well, you don't want it, but you don't want a monkeypox year. That means that the same thing has happened. I don't think this is going to be anything like that. But anyhow, we do have some folks talking about that.
I'm just you current events. You just
current events.
It, you brought it in.
The last signee was, I guess, the one yesterday, or commit, I guess is the way we have to put it right now.
Sure.
Is Marlon Leston. And now he's one of those, you know, he's tall, big guy out of East Carolina.
Yep.
But, you know, sets,
I believe assistant Antoine Jackson from ECU.
But here's the bells it sets off. This is his fifth school in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes that's good.
Sometimes it works.
Sometimes that's not good. So, and I don't know the circumstances. Sometimes parents move. Parents get other jobs. Don't have any idea if that has anything to do with it at all. But he went to three high schools in 3 years, and now East Carolina and Murray State.
I can tell you East Carolina, he was 6'9", 200, didn't get a ton of time there. He did have Providence knocking on his door.
Yeah, yeah, and that tells you that he's probably got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Just for whatever reason hasn't found his niche yet, and I guess we'll find that soon.
Looks like he's a little bit of a stretch four, too.
Maybe.
He can kind of put the ball behind the – from behind the arc, he can put it in the basket. I want to go back to Brian really quick because Jacoby Wood, I think, is going to play a big role on this team. And we're just early conjectures here. I got a feeling Steve's going to take a look at everybody. That's the whole point.
Sure.
I mean, especially with all the youth that's coming in. I mentioned the fact there's no senior for a reason. This is another situation where you put together these classes and there's, I mean, you should have, I mean, I know the transfer portal makes things easy to move again, but you should have some of these guys stick around for a minute or two to see if their fit is here. You go back to Moore, I mean, alongside Jacoby Wood, wherever that fit is, this is a young man that scored 1,000 career points in his 2 years in JUCO. Again, this past season, 21-5-4. I said 21-6-5. I was close. I mean, he scored 47 points in a game, two-time All-American. I mean, and had some considerable interest, Mr. Moore. As a matter of fact, I believe within the last month and a half, Virginia Tech had offered. And then you take a look at another young man who has just been picked up over the last couple of weeks, and Sam Murray, does he go by junior or the second? He's listed as Sam Murray the second. Either way.
He's going to be Sam Murray.
Yeah, he's Murray.
On the broadcast.
Yeah, he's going to be Murray. Yeah. Somebody's already asked this, and I'm actually, from a broadcasting perspective, are you going to say Murray for Murray?
Say what?
Murray for Murray.
Murray for Murray?
Or from Murray, or Murray for Murray, like if you're just in the pod, if you're in your
I've had Rod Murray before. It just, yeah, it's not that hard. He scores. Our fans know who scored. Come on.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, well, you just in the middle of your, just as you're talking, like you'll have to say Murray so many times.
That's nothing wrong with that.
It'll fit.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. It's great.
So go look at his offer sheet. Anybody listening right now, go look at, I mean, he's a 4-star. Is he 6'7", 6'8", or 6'9"?
I have no idea.
Can we just average?
I've seen it.
He's 6'9".
Okay.
The taller, the better.
Yeah.
He's 6'9".
Okay. All right. He actually came on Twitter and said, hey, guys, I know it says I'm 6'7" in a couple of places. I'm actually 6'9". That's good news.
And I don't know how that happened. I do know that when my son played football at Callaway County High School, and they, Coach Mitchell, handed the roster to them and said, write down what you want to be. So my son, who's never been 6'6", was 6'6".
Okay.
315, and so you'd go on the road and people would get this rosters, you know, they'd hand out, oh my gosh, these guys are monsters. It's like, not really.
Well, I was introduced at 5'11 at Marsh County home game, so that tells you
there you
kinda,
go
kind of what goes on.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
Let's just be real.
So I'm gonna go ahead and dispel that myth for those who are listening. Jay, I love you to death, man.
Not 5'11.
I am.
It doesn't matter. In golf, who cares?
That's true.
Doesn't matter.
That's true.
That's true. You can be 5'4 and it won't matter, but. What are you really realistic? 5'9"?
I'm 5'9".
Yeah, okay. I'm 5'11", and my wife likes to tell me I'm 5'10 and a half. Okay. So I'm like, wow, you're an asshole.
There you go.
But it's really funny, and she's somehow still married to me.
I mean, how tall is John Daly?
That's true.
See, no one knows.
Who cares?
They just know how many cigarettes he smokes and how much he likes to drink.
And he's still a legend.
And he is. He's legendary.
I'll allow it.
Hooters deal.
Yeah.
Him and his son.
It's unbelievable. I mean, one Hooter
for each
of
them. It's the best fit.
Yeah, it really is.
It's the best fit.
Yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. I want to go to this offer sheet for Sam really quick because I do want people to kind of start taking a look at where these guys are coming from and how this staff is getting these guys. Sam, I think a lot like, you know, a couple of guys on the team maybe had – I think he had some injury issue during his senior year of high school. Doesn't matter. Still a supremely talented individual. Yeah. Here's the offers that he was holding. just throughout 2021 and 2022. UNLV, LSU, Baylor, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, Missouri, Texas, Cincinnati, and Texas A&M.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. And LSU had offered him under the Will Wade years. So, I mean, it's just one of those situations where, you know, he was trying to, you know, I guess he was supposed to have a really big senior year, got to play a few games, and then I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he had a little bit of a knee injury during his senior season and didn't get to finish out the way that he wanted it to. Doesn't matter. Supremely talented individual at 6'9", believe he's 200, absolutely athletic slasher. Yeah. They can get it done out of Gulfport,
correct?
Yeah,
that area, Gulfport, Mississippi, and Harrison Central High School. And I do believe there is a
Murray State connection.
There's
there,
a Murray State connection there,
pretty good one
for Isaac.
And wanted to come. He said he visited here and just, hey, this is it. This is where I want to be. I like that kind of story.
Those are always good stories. I do believe is that everybody on the roster that has come in the last 2 weeks? I mean,
I think Patrick Chu was the last one he had just come on our last podcast.
Yep. When
we
announced. So I want to mention this really quick. Here's what we've got. Here's the full roster: DJ Burns, Rodriguez Thomas, Braxton Stacker, Jackson Edwards, Justin Morgan, Quincy Anderson, Rob Perry, Jacoby Wood, Brian Moore, Kenny White Jr., Marlon Leston, Jamari Smith, Sam Murray II, and Patrick Chu. Yep.
And there's no 5'11", 5'10", 5'9", guys on this. This is a really good size roster, especially for the Missouri Valley. I like it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Your two shortest guys would be Jacoby Wood and
Rod Thomas.
Rod Thomas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I caught some. I'm gonna mention it. I caught some grief, man, when I like tweeted out an innocuous message on where the last scholarship should go.
Oh yeah, wow.
That blew my mind. Yeah. I really was just trying to list out, like, here's where you can go with this. With your 13th scholarship, Neil, and you know this as well as anybody, scholarships can come and go. I mean, and people come in and not, you know, not contribute at all. You know, 2 months ago, Rod, I think everybody was like, man, I'm really excited Rod's staying. That's great.
And I still am.
Yeah. I don't want to say
I
that
want
it
him
became
to
a,
stay.
Yeah, I don't want to say that it became a punchline, but it was like, oh, well, I guess we got to offer Rod a scholarship. You know, knowing full well he's from Paducah Tillman, he lives in Western Kentucky and can embrace Kentucky's opportunities from an academic standpoint. He can, you know, certainly relish in some scholarship money there. Needless to say, you know, not knowing where the 13th scholarship's headed for, you know, Steve Prohm and his guys, that scholarship can go anywhere.
Yeah.
It needs to go to either a reserve or somebody you think maybe can give you some big minutes or develop into a great talent. Or it can go to Rod, who's a walk-on, who's done nothing. But, you know, it was simply an offer of ideas, and I wanted it to become a discussion. I did not necessarily want it to become like this outlandish outpouring of, well, this is where it's got to go and why. And,
you need to run your poll stuff by me.
From now on.
I would have told you not to do that.
Okay. You would have just been like, hey, don't do that?
Don't do that.
Okay.
It was going to stir up a hornet's nest, and what did it do?
You did stir up a hornet's nest.
There you go.
But it stirred up like great people, like who. Here's the one thing that I will.
That's true.
And here's the one thing I will say, because you and I haven't always, you know, agreed.
Oh, we don't agree on 90% of the stuff.
It's true.
Outside of Murray State.
That's right, and that's fine. I think, for me, I think it was a great message to a guy like Rod, who is beloved.
Oh,
not just by fans who just think it's a victory celebration or something like that. But a lot of his former teammates from Murray State.
And fellow students at school that have nothing to do with basketball.
That just jumped in and said, man, this guy is the guy. And I think that really more than anything, I'm happy that message was sent. I'll take whatever blame for, you know, making things difficult or, you know, perhaps putting somebody in a bind that maybe was like, well, what are we supposed to do with this scholarship now?
Well, also, the thing I didn't like, it put Rod in a bit of an embarrassing situation.
True.
That's the thing.
That's fair.
That's the negative part. Not the rest of it. Would he be fine? Heck, it'd be fine, but I mean, that put him in kind of a tough spot.
That's true. But I will say it was cool to see a lot of his former teammates.
Oh, heck
and,
yeah.
And like I said, and classmates too, come out and say, hey, man, this guy's got it. You know, this is a quality individual who brings the right thing to the locker room.
Sure, sure is. And I don't think anyone would have had any issue if he picked up that 13th. It would have been like, oh, geez. Because you know he's not going to cause he's no trouble. Great grades, great teammate, great student, great ambassador of the university. Everything you want in a young man or woman, that's what you got with him.
Jay, I want to ask you this because you've been in a locker room before a lot more than I have. And as far as how important is chemistry? I mean, you talk about a guy like Rod Thomas who does bring a lot of great chemistry to a team as a leader and as a practice teammate. What is it like to be in a locker room when things are going well versus when things aren't going so well?
Well, the thing that's different is just knowing that the guy beside you has your back is something that's not – like, it's just so valuable. So, like, knowing that I'm going to play 110% for the guy beside me, he's going to play 110% for me, just kind of frees you up a little bit. And I'm talking any sport. Like, knowing that you like each other, you play for each other, you love each other, that's just something that – I think that separates the good from great teams. And, like – good teams have good chemistry. Great teams have great chemistry. Great teams love each other. And, I mean, I think it was seen with the Murray State basketball team last year, how much they loved each other, how much they loved from Rod to Jackson to Tevin. Like, whoever was out on the floor making plays, everybody loved it, and they were enjoying it. And I think that's kind of what separated, you know, Murray State from, let's say, you know, Belmont. Didn't look like they had good chemistry. Let's just
Yeah, last year, so, oddly, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah, that's a good question. I think that's a good point.
So I think that's kind of what separates, and when you play with the love of the game, love for your teammates, it's just a great feeling to have, knowing that the other guys feel the same way you do.
I told you the story of several years ago, girls' Sweet 16, one of the most talented, I'm not going to call them out on it, but one of the most talented teams I've ever seen up there lost in the second round. And you could just tell something wasn't right. And I talked with one of the writers, and he said, this team hates each other. And so last moments of the game where they got eliminated, girl comes up, takes a shot, falls as she takes it, misses. And so the other team celebrating, her teammate stepped over her on the way to the locker room. I've never seen that. But that gives you an idea of like, and they had so much talent. But it can tear a team apart when the chemistry's not right. But also you've seen it. Teams can be better sometimes just because they have the team and cohesiveness. It might mean a bucket or two. It might help you win a game you might not win otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just having the, like I said, the love for each other, the trust, the passion that everybody has. If you're all on the same page, I think that is definitely plays a huge factor on, you know, especially in basketball, because it's just it's 5-on-5, but it's just so fluid that everybody's got to be on the same page. And I think teams that have that chemistry just are definitely the best teams in the country every year have great chemistry. There's a lot of good teams, but the great teams have that chemistry.
Yeah. Can you coach chemistry?
To a certain extent. Yeah, I don't think you can coach great. I don't think the teams that have chemistry have it. I think you can get them to a certain point, but I don't think like the stuff that the chemistry that Murray State had last year, I don't think you can coach that. I think you can coach up to a certain extent, but just the love that they had for each other was something I don't think you can coach.
I've seen – there hasn't been a lot of cases, but I have seen cases, even at Murray State, you have a player maybe a little selfish when he comes in, not – he doesn't leave that way. So they've taken a player who maybe thinks a little too much of me, and in a couple of years, that's gone.
Right.
He's totally bought into the team concept. And that doesn't happen much. But I've seen it happen a couple of times over a 30-something-year career.
Want to pivot a little bit, we'll bounce into a couple different subjects here, but I want to talk a little bit about baseball as that season, regular season, has come to a close. Come to a close. This is back-to-back years now for the first time in 40-plus, Neil, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. In which, you know, Coach Skirka and the squad has won 30 games. I know that the OVC slate did not go the way that they had hoped early on, especially with that 08 slide to start. But to bounce back and go 11-5 the rest of the way, what do you think that says about this team, and what do you like about their chances as a 7 seed going to Lexington?
Well, I don't like their chances, to be honest about it. When you're in that single elimination day,
it's tough.
That really is kills your pitching staff. And yet, the last time that called a Murray State baseball tournament, was that in 2000, whenever it was? That was when they won it, and they played on the first day of the tournament and went all the way. But they were mashing the ball, got some timely pitching, and it worked out really well for them. So that's what they're going to need. To get through the first day, whoever they're going to pitch, they need them to have a deep day so it doesn't put a lot of stress on the bullpen. If they can get past that with a 8-inning performance, 7-inning performance, not have to use the bullpen too much, they got a shot. But if they're having to go to that bullpen early, they're kind of dead in the water, I think, after that. It's tough to win it.
You've got, and I'm scratching my head here because, if you're Skurka, in a one-game scenario, do you put Winja out there?
Oh, you got to get to the next game because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You've got to get to the next game.
I mentioned this. Hayden Winja is 3.47 ERA, easily leads the team. Racers finished the regular season 30-24. Team ERA of 5.66. Winja went 7-3 in 14 appearances. 13 games, had a complete game, had a shutout, pitched 70 innings. 4-1 strikeout to walk ratio. I mean, I hate to make this pun, but I'm going to do it anyways. He can win you some games.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody said that before.
That's the only reason you wanted to do the podcast, so you can work that in today.
Yeah, I've been waiting an hour and a half to say that. Yeah. So, but all jokes aside, it's only giving up 7 homers in 70 innings. I mean, 1 every 10. You're looking at a situation here. He doesn't give up extra base hits. Teams hit .219 against him. I'd have to think, but then you talk about this going deep in your pitching. You've got Alec Whaley. You've got Jordan Naranjo, former Graves County and Hickman County star. You've got Jacob Pennington, who's played well on both sides of the ball. You've got Shane Burns, who has a sub-6 ERA, but he's 4-0. He wins when he gets out there. You know, sure, he doesn't like the fact that his strikeout-to-walk ratio is high, but teams are only hitting .261 against him. So, I mean, he's had a couple rough innings, but he's been good when he needs to get out there. So, you're right. If you get past those 5 guys, where do you go from there? You know, and I'm not calling anybody out. It's college baseball is extremely difficult.
Oh, there's a lot of teams in that tournament with pitching issues.
Yeah. Look at the offense this year at the OVC. Yeah. I mean, we're saying Murray State is a 7 seed. They are as close to the 3 seed as you can get than they are the 8 because of how tight it is there in the middle. You've got Belmont that I believe won the regular season title. Okay. That's crazy. You have Murray State that was picked kind of near the top or at the top at the beginning of the season. Murray State's 7th, and they're only, 5 games out of Belmont? And they got swept to start the season against Belmont. You win that series, and that's tight. Yeah. That's how tight the OVC in baseball has been this year.
I think they're good enough to win it, but if they have a rough first day yet still win, they're going to need their bats to carry them. Bats are good, not maybe quite as good as they were last year when they were just off the charts good.
They were.
But still, they're good. And it's very difficult to stay hot over 4 or 5 days, but gosh, I've seen it happen. And when it happens, it can carry you.
So they hit .274 on the season, and you and I have talked about this at great length. Their speed is sensational.
Yeah.
That's the non-issue. They have plenty of speed on the base pass. Out of 127 attempts and stolen bases, 127 attempts, by the way, well, you and I have talked about stealing bases is a lost art. I wish the Reds would get on base so we could actually steal them. And they've stolen 112. The Racers have. So you've got Slender, Holly, Pennington, Bloomer, Vogel, McCullough, Gardner. They're all hitting .240+. So you're right. The bats can get hot at any point, but
they got to get past the first day, have a good pitching performance. If they could do that, they got a shot to win the thing. But that first day, you just can't have 5 guys pitching that game.
No.
2-3 innings and be tired by the next day. That's not good.
Jay, did you play a lot of baseball in high school?
Or I didn't play. I played growing up, so I played like a bunch of travel ball probably up until like 7th grade. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask this question. If you did not play golf, be like asking Ja, like if you didn't play basketball, what are you playing?
I would try to make basketball work, I think. I just love basketball so much, but I could have tried baseball. I was a terrible hitter. I mean,
I was a terrible hitter.
I could pitch. I wasn't a bad pitcher, but I could not swing the bat. Yeah, I'd probably play basketball. I'd probably just played basketball in high school and probably worked on it a little more and kind of see where that
See where it goes. Yeah. Love to see it. Neil, we know what you would have done. You would have played baseball.
I played baseball, lettered 4 years.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then you would have was there any opportunity, though, in your mind that's like, I'll go play JUCO ball or I'll go play?
Well, there was till I played American Legion. And then when I played American Legion, I couldn't get around on anybody that was any good. I mean, at all. So it was way too fast for me. So at that point, the major league career went, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this for a living. So I decided to do something else. I wasn't good enough for JUCO or anything like that.
I couldn't hit for this.
The only reason I was lettered 4 years, and here's how our coach did. Our coach was a basketball coach. We got a stipend to coach baseball.
Sure.
So they lined people up at third base to see who could get it to first. I did it better than anybody, third baseman. So I was third baseman 4 years because they hit it to me and I could throw over there without throwing it away.
It's brilliant.
And occasionally.
You had hair back then, too.
Yeah, get a hit occasionally, and, you know. But, yeah. And I still remember my only walk-off hit of my career. They walk a guy ahead of me, and I popped it up behind first base, second baseman, left fielder.
No man's land.
It drops, two runs score. I get mobbed for popping it up. That was my only walk-off hit.
You put the ball in play.
Of my career. And I went 6 years old to 18.
I played until I was 14. And then when I got into high school, I realized, one, I wasn't cool enough. But two, I wasn't good enough. There's no way that I was going to see the field because I couldn't hit worth a piss. I could play center. I could play left. I could play right. They even tried me at short in middle school late on. And I was fine there because I didn't mind getting like hit with a baseball and trying to stop it. But I was never going to be able to bat better than, like, 110.
Yeah.
Like, and that way, my on-base, yeah, it was bad. Like, my on-base percentage was going to be, like, 140, and that's because I was going to get the courtesy walk as the nine every once in a while. Yeah. Nope, wasn't going to happen. Went out for the meeting. Did. Went out for the meeting, and then even later on in high school, I was like, you know, my junior year, I was like, I still know a lot of these guys. I could still play center field. And I walked into the meeting, and there were guys that I knew. I was like, well, he throws 80, he throws 81, he throws 84, he throws 83. Yeah, no, I'm never going to play. So I was just like, I'll just stick to things that I'm really good at, like academic team. And,
oh, okay. Yeah, no. I was wondering what it was. Yeah. I was like,
I'm still wondering what it is because it's not much. It's barely enough to get by.
Collecting Disney characters. Oh, you're really good at that.
Yeah, okay. Those are actually my wife. Yeah. You know, actually, I do have a pack of basketball cards. I'm good at collecting cards. I need to open those up in a minute, but... as far as sports news is concerned, that's where we are with Murray State. I know track and field certainly had its heyday. They were extremely successful in the outdoor championships. And, I mean, it's been a banner year, really. I don't want to recap the whole year, but, I mean, you think about softball sending off this bang for the to the Missouri Valley. Holy smokes. I mean, really, you think about where you're headed this summer. And how that all changes.
Yeah.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
New conference, and basically anyone who won anything is going to other conferences out of the OVC. I mean, you know, Belmont won baseball. Murray State won softball, men's basketball. Belmont women's basketball. All those teams are gone. Women's track and field, Murray State, gone. So it'll be different.
I think it makes room, though, I think, for – I think it makes room for success.
Oh, it does. Yeah, there will be some teams that take over.
Jay, you mentioned earlier, Arkansas Little Rock. Tons of talented athletes there. You've got UT Martin football. I mean, of course, we've got one more year of football. That's going to be, really interesting. I mean, look at this. I know you have talked a lot about it, but it's worth discussing again. This schedule, man, for this year. I don't envy it. It's one of the better schedules in the country, regardless of program, and I'm not – it's going to be difficult. You've got Jacksonville State and the amount of talent that they bring in, and they're transitioning to FBS. Mm-hmm. You've got your D1 play. You open in Lubbock with Texas Tech, and man.
Wait till next year's schedule then.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's going to be even harder.
Yeah, it is.
Can't complain about it.
No.
All right, Neil. I'm going to give us a few other minutes here. Just go ahead and tell me how I need to be a Cardinals fan.
Well, your Reds are hot. Remember the last time we spoke, was that 2 weeks ago? They only won three games, or was it 3 weeks ago? In fact, there was some chiming, and I try to talk people down. I don't like people being mean too much.
I've been drunk since then.
But there was a school of thought they may not win as many games as the Bengals did in their last season. However, they're at 12 right now.
You're a dick.
So
they did throw a no-hitter, right?
And they did throw a no-hitter.
You should be excited about that one.
Oh, yeah. They lost it, though. But it was to the Pirates.
Jay, are you a Cardinals fan?
I am a Cardinals fan.
Of course.
I am.
But, I mean, we have the Clydesdales. There's lots of beer. I just went to three games.
I can't say anything.
I went to three games.
I'm going to Cardinals Brewers next Sunday. I'm not going to complain. For Memorial Day weekend, my father-in-law, who is also a blasted-ass Cardinals fan.
Join.
No, can't do it.
You won't.
I won't allow it.
You could be in second place in 10 seconds. Boom. Last to second.
That's
just like that.
Just not the easy. That's the easy way out. That's the easy
Sometimes
way.
That's the best way.
That's the only way out.
I mean, if you were on the Titanic and it's going down, here's a life preserver. No! I'm going down. I love the Titanic.
I'm the captain. I'm going down. Okay. I'm going down with
we'll
the
see
ship.
You.
Me and Joey.
Well, you're not the captain. You're just on the ship, and you're going down with it.
Me and Joey Votto going down with it. Hey, Votto's hitting 141 today after his home run.
hit a homer. Pujols hit more today than Votto has all year.
I know. I'm aware. You know, by the way, Pujols has pitched and then Yachty pitched today.
Yeah. Yes. Well, when you're up 18 to nothing, you can afford to
do
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, Yachty threw 13 strikes on 18 pitches.
That's not bad.
By the way, I want to ask this. You guys know watching baseball a lot more than me. I watch box scores. It was on Peacock?
Yes.
ESPN kept showing it on Peacock.
Yeah, they have a schedule of games. Today, I think, was the first one. It's Sunday morning baseball. The games start at 10:30 on Peacock, or 10:35, I guess.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, every Sunday morning, there will be a game.
Jay, close us out here, man. Anything on your mind? Go ahead and ask us or tell us about it. What's going on? What's your summer looking like right now?
So my summer golf schedule is just I'm just playing a lot of local stuff, playing the State Am, the state Open, playing the Irvin Cobb. So excited for that one.
Ooh, yeah. I love the Cobb. I absolutely love the Irvin Cobb.
It's a fun weekend. So just not a lot of going on. I'm kind of relaxing. I've played a lot of golf and the past summer is kind of want to relax and just kind of hang out a little bit for the summer, but looking forward to August and getting to Murray and chasing championships.
Any family vacation or anything you got going this summer?
Well, we're trying to figure out. We might end up going somewhere. My parents were talking about that the other day, but if it is, it'll probably be somewhere where there's golf.
So, oh, okay. All right.
So it's not a full vacation, right. But I'll be playing golf, I'm sure.
I love it. The Irvin Cobb, it's funny you mentioned that. It is such a – one, I've always enjoyed covering it because it's just such a magnificent tournament. It's so well run. Danny does such a great job with it. I love seeing it. And I love – it can always be hot. It can be miserable. But it is almost like a family reunion of golfers. And I just like observing that. It's a lot of fun. It's extremely competitive, especially on the amateur side. You know, when you're trying to really make a name for yourself, that's the place where you can do it. It's also a racer reunion. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, you know, Jay, and I know you can attest to this, having participated in it as a junior before, there are so many racer alumni who either are involved in running the tournament, are involved sponsoring the tournament, or are involved just playing and competing and trying to win the tournament. Mm-hmm. What's that like to just embrace that now as a racer?
Yeah, this year will be pretty interesting, but like I've played with Tyler Powell in the past, and like at the time he was like signed, I believe, and so he was. I think we were playing with a guy, I forgot his name. He was like probably mid-30s, and he played golf at Murray State, and then you know Coach Hunt's there. Coach Hunt's coached all those guys, and then on the pro side, you've got both the Newcombs usually play, and then there's a couple other Murray State pros that play. So it is pretty cool to see like everybody come back and play, and obviously it's just a fun weekend from the pro-am on Friday. Go get a good dinner with your team on Friday night, and then you go play a tournament on Saturday or Sunday. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we love to see it. Well, Neil, Jay, it's been a lot of fun here at my kitchen table. We'll have to do this again. We'll need to bring Jay in as like a guest, like, I don't know, analyst, so to speak. He can kind of give us some insight as to, you know, how things roll. Got to give us the back scoop, you know, like
right,
what's
we'll
going
do.
On.
We'll do.
Neil, I don't try to scoop anything.
Just try to show up on time next time. That's all I ask. I come in.
I was late to my own house.
Your wife makes me do dishes. I'm having to do some dishes there. Like, don't do that.
Well, I mean, I don't even. Now I owe you $5.
Exactly.
Yeah. Phil, it's been fun. It's been real fun. Those who inquired, fun. Yeah.